Welcome to this episode of The Golden Gang, a podcast that introduces you to the inside of our senior living community through the eyes of professionals that are here every day. Through their stories and personal experiences, you will hear the passion and commitment of those providing services to our most treasured population, the residents of Arbor Terrace Exton. My name is Chuck Nichols. I'm your host, as well as the engagement director at Arbor Terrace in Exton, Pennsylvania.
Hello, everybody. I have something really special for all of you today. We are back with our senior moment. This entire episode, we talked to one of our residents, John, who's been with us for a couple of years now. But he's just an amazing individual. He's had such a great life, ups and downs. He's done a lot of things. I really think you're going to enjoy getting to know him. He talks about books that he's written and even his sons who have some music published, and he has some organizations that he would like support for him, but we'll talk about that at the end of the podcast. For now, just enjoy meeting our friend John.
I mean, I want to thank you first for taking time out.
Oh, yeah.
To be with us, John. You know, it's always, when I got to know you, it's always been in the back of my mind to sit down with you in this forum, because I think you have such great stories to tell.
Oh, thanks, Chuck.
And I have to start out with this, because most of us have Facebook pages, and a Facebook page gives you about three or four lines on the top of your page to tell a little bit about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna tell you what mine says, okay, and then relate it to you.
Okay.
It has my name, Chuck Nichols. Singer, songwriter, guitarist, poet, animal rights activist, humanitarian. I am none of these things, but you are, right? Because you've kind of covered it all. So I just kind of want to start in the beginning, because, you know, we've all seen the pictures. Anybody from the Philadelphia area has seen the pictures of Connie Mack Stadium,
right,
with the houses behind it, with the bleachers on top of it, and that's where you grew up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what was that like for you?
Well, I grew up in a modest row house on the 2700 block of North 20th Street in North Philadelphia, in a blue-collar neighborhood known as Swampoodle. Now, I think that word Swampoodle is a derivation of swamps and poodles. and that's what the surroundings were made of. It may not sound like much, but tell that to the Baseball Hall of Fame. You see, those of us who lived on 20th Street also had, as our neighbors, the Philadelphia Athletics, and later the Philadelphia Phillies. They played in a place called Shibe Park, later to be known as Connie Mack Stadium. To put it in its proper perspective, I had a Major League Baseball stadium outside my front house. Shibe Park, which opened on April 12, 1909, was the first steel and concrete ballpark in North America and the first of the American League's baseball stadiums. As a tribute to the unique urban environment that living on 20th Street afforded us city row house kids, I'm dedicating this volume, Quit Picking Upon Perfectionists, to the kids on my Swampoodle neighborhood, and especially to the 20th Streeters beyond the right field wall, hoping for a home run ball, and to the thousands of fans who traveled to my block to watch baseball over the years. Long may our pimple balls fly.
Where did that ending come from, the pimple balls?
Well, you know what a pimple ball
is.
Yeah. Well, it was just, I needed a better ending than
okay.
I had. And I just thought that it was like a cheer towards something. Like a rah-rah, pimple balls line.
So you were playing stickball out in the street too when the games weren't going on. Right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Did you ever hit one over from the other side?
I didn't hit too many. No. I think I might have had one.
Yeah.
I chased down a Stan Musial home run one time.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And you got it.
Got it.
You have the ball?
I do.
Oh.
I do. Is there,
interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really cool. I wonder if there's a way to get it validated, Stan Musial on this date or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that was special.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. So that must have been a lively neighborhood at the time with all that going on.
Well, it was lively because it also combined manufacturing surroundings.
Okay.
You know, it was big on factories.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, it was a crowded row house neighborhood.
Yeah.
With a city park in the middle there.
What is that? That's not Brewery Town area, is it?
No, Brewery Town, I believe, is over closer to the Delaware.
Oh, okay, okay.
I think.
So what they had, Philco Radios was in that.
Philco was
area.
Down there.
Yeah.
Oh, geez, the names escape me now.
Yeah, yeah. But I remember all that stuff being there, especially Philco Radio. That was such a huge company, and I think we all had them. It was probably closed by the time I became aware of things. But
yeah.
I remember Philco radios in our houses. And
sure,
such.
Sure.
You read that passage from your own book.
Right.
What's the title?
Well, the title of this book is called Quit Picking Upon Perfectionists.
Okay. And where'd that come from?
That came from my head.
Yeah. That's amazing.
I like the play on words with upon and
okay.
up or quit picking on.
Yeah.
Perfectionists.
And that's a compilation of articles that you've written and essays?
Yes, that's right. I worked, was a columnist for the New Hope Gazette,
mm-hmm.
And I did that for 5 years.
Okay.
And didn't miss a weekly deadline.
Yeah.
It was good that way. And I came upon, you can read this this explanation when you buy the book.
Okay.
But I came upon applying for a job as a baseball coach
at
New Hope Soulbury High School.
Mm-hmm.
And they liked what I had done.
Yeah.
And they hired me as the baseball coach.
Okay.
And then they extended that invitation to when they said that there were going to be maybe disposing of their existing columnists.
Mm-hmm.
And would I be interested in filling that position?
Okay.
Of course, you know, I'd never been a columnist, right. say, or a baseball coach.
Yeah, right.
Both in the same day.
Talk about being in the right place at the right time.
Right. Both, right? And it was both in the same day.
So I think there's kind of like a Forrest Gump quality or a Zelig quality to that. You just happen to be there and the good things happen.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, exactly.
That's amazing.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. And what was your experience? Were you the head baseball coach, the manager?
I was the head baseball coach.
Okay. So, and how was your record?
Well, our record belied the quality of our play.
Okay.
We were not a good team
mm-hmm.
at the time that I took the position.
Right.
We played good ball the whole second year.
Oh, good.
And
yeah.
And just, we tightened everything up.
Yeah.
And so... Unfortunately, some of the parents didn't feel that was what they were looking for.
So you were high school kids?
High school kids.
Okay. Yeah.
So I did 2 years there.
Okay.
And as much as they loved me in the first year,
mm-hmm.
they didn't love me in the second
right.
year, you know, because they got an opportunity to...
The expectations got higher?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, that's too bad.
And the competition for, you know, it was... High competition for college
right.
positions and stuff.
Yeah.
You know.
That's what the folks wanted. The parents wanted scholarships.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. I know. It's a shame. I've, you know, we've heard the Little League stories and stuff like that. And power to you that you got some really good fundamentals instilled so they can
yes.
go on the second year and have a pretty good team.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. But then you stayed with the newspaper after that.
Stayed with the newspaper right for the next, you know, 4 years.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And then you were telling me earlier that you were Mr. Mom, or?
I was Mr. Mom for 11 years.
Yeah. Well, share some of that.
Stay at home dad.
Yeah.
Well, my wife was a professional in the nursing profession.
Okay.
And she wanted to return to the nursing profession. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of happy to, I had been in the medical profession myself.
Right.
And I was happy to return to the home bases.
Yeah.
And it was, and the other thing that ties me in there is that I had, I come down with a kidney disease.
Okay.
And I had a transplant. Okay. And I was in my fifth year of post-transplant when we made this change.
Oh, okay.
And that was monumental, really.
Yeah.
I here's to the wonderful donor families who
sure.
who make these sacrifices.
Yeah, know? We're going to on the tag at the end of the podcast, we're going to
yeah.
give credit to some of those organizations,
right?
And let people, maybe donate and such to them on your behalf or whatever.
Right.
So we'll
yeah.
go through that. What was? But I'm interested to know your experience as the house husband. What was the biggest awakening or shock or lesson that you learned? Because obviously, it probably didn't all go as planned, right?
I think that I was an exceptional father.
Yeah. Okay.
I really do. Yeah. I can say it with confidence. Mm-hmm. Because I was I wasn't a mom.
Right. You know?
And the things that I could come up with
mm-hmm.
were things that they weren't going to get. They weren't going to get just from their mom.
Right. Okay.
You know. Yeah. And I grew up in the city. Mm-hmm. You know. And the kids, my kids did not,
mm-hmm.
and neither did my wife.
Right.
So that made a big difference,
okay.
being a city father.
Yeah.
You know.
A little bit of streetwise that you're able to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you should say that you're a good father with confidence because I met your kids.
Oh.
And they're all really, really nice people.
Oh, thank you.
Very, very
thank
nice
you.
People.
I'll be glad to hear that.
So let's talk about them a little bit. You have two boys and a girl.
Correct.
Girl I just met, by the way. I've met your boys before.
Okay.
But I think when we were out in front of the building was the first time I met your daughter, Chloe.
Chloe, right.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. So what does she do?
Chloe is now, she is in the field of, and you'll need your spelling
okay.
pencil for this one. The field of lymphedema therapy.
Okay.
Which is what some women get this procedure done
mm-hmm.
after they've had chemotherapy.
Okay.
Or after they've had a the kind of procedure that a woman would have to beautify herself. Cosmetic surgery.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. And what do your boys do?
My oldest son is Nick.
Mm-hmm.
And Nick works as a general manager of I always forget the name of his place too, but he's in Brooklyn.
Okay.
And he runs a club for shuffleboard.
Oh, all right. Well,
yeah,
that's cool.
Up in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent.
And John is our musically most gifted.
Yeah.
We all have music in us,
mm-hmm.
but John's really carried it to
yeah.
the nth degree.
Okay.
So he's tours around the country.
Oh, is that right?
He's a headliner at wherever he plays.
Is
he's
he really?
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Has he ever come down this way?
He's been down a couple times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to let us know. We'll take a trip over.
Oh, I will. Yeah. He's coming in June.
Is he really?
Yeah.
We'll like to catch up on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, double back.
That'd be cool.
Absolutely. I haven't heard of a shuffleboard club. Are we seeing like the next thing after pickleball?
I haven't been there yet
yeah.
because when my son Nick got married,
mm-hmm.
and am I getting this right? I couldn't go to the
Okay.
To the
wedding?
Wedding, mm-hmm. because of the health concerns. Okay. So I didn't get to see.
Didn't get to see it?
Actually get married, which.
Okay. Well.
You know.
I'm sure you were there for spirit.
Oh, I was there from a distance.
So yeah.
It's okay. Coming back to me now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. So you touched on a little bit, but you've had quite a health journey mm-hmm. with kidney transplant. And then, your life with Parkinson's, which, by the way, you do extremely well.
Oh,
with,
thanks.
You navigate the community well, and you're very verbal with people and such. So,
thank you.
But I mean, the challenges that must have brought, and you just kind of met it head on. It's very impressive.
Oh, thanks, John.
Yeah. So, what was it? I mean, we talked about it before, just kind of that initial hearing of the diagnosis for kidney issues. What happened?
The diagnosis for the kidney issues was I had experienced some initial symptoms mm-hmm. of cramps and
right.
things like that, and got the diagnosis after a biopsy.
Yeah.
And just immediately started into the world of being a patient.
Man. Yeah.
I did it. I was on dialysis for a year and a half.
Yeah. And I think you told me, now how long ago was that?
That was in 1989.
Yeah. So that was a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you told me you're probably the longest surviving patient in the area,
I believe,
yeah.
from having inquired and just different mm-hmm. things, I believe that I was the longest living survivor from a deceased donor.
Oh, okay.
You know, there are more mm-hmm. successful transplants with when the donor is.
Yeah. I mean, you're about 36 years into it now.
That's right.
You know,
yeah, pretty much on the mark.
Yeah. 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 So
that was that's how I got into it. Then I deteriorated until I had to go on dialysis or
right.
call it quits.
Yeah.
And I got a call in the middle of the night from Hospital University of Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And they told me, we have a kidney for you.
Yeah.
Will you accept it?
Yeah.
Those words are burned into my head.
Is that right?
Will you accept it? Because it's not that easy a decision. You would think it would be.
Really?
You would think, well, you know, I've been living this kind of shabby life for mm-hmm. 5 years.
Right.
Now I have a chance for a new life.
With yeah.
But you also, during that period, get acclimated
mm-hmm.
to life as a kidney recipient.
Yeah.
Well, kidney patient.
Yeah.
And I can remember lying in bed there with my wife and just sort of mulling it over. Do I want to accept this kidney?
Yeah.
I didn't go leaping to
That's it. Interesting, because you would think that it's like, yeah, I know, I'd be dressed with your shoes on running out the door, but no.
Right.
I guess so, because it is part of your body that you're, you know.
Yeah.
That's interesting. It's an interesting perspective.
And when I did, then they immediately drove me down to Hospital University of Pennsylvania. And they immediately, they didn't do any blood work or anything. They had all this stuff lined up.
Yeah.
They took me, also escorted me right from there to the OR
mm-hmm.
and got the kidney.
Wow. That's amazing.
I mean, just
the thought of that kind of a procedure that is able to do it.
Yes.
You know? And then the good fortune that you were able to take advantage of it.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So.
Yeah, we were, that was a tenuous period.
Yeah, yeah. So getting back to your book.
Let me just add.
Oh, go ahead, I'm sorry.
That it has been a successful kidney for, like you said, 36 years.
Yeah.
Without any rejections.
I think that would give a lot of hope to people
yes,
in the same circumstance.
Definitely.
Yeah, because once they hear that, it's kind of, maybe they won't struggle as much with the answer when the call comes.
That's right.
Right. If somebody else can listen to that.
Yeah.
So getting back to your book, that's your second one.
Correct.
Right. And what's the name of the first one?
The first one is a different title. It's okay. called Ruminating on Sloth and Other
okay.
Indulgences.
Uh-huh. Interesting. And you came up with that one too?
I did.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. So
I love the upon.
Just playing with words.
And just playing with words. Yeah. I love to play with words.
And anybody who gets your book can see how you do that. Because I've read a good part of it.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I didn't know there was a first one. I'll have to pick that one up too. But just the way that you have a very entertaining way of writing. Which is hard to be consistent when you're only doing a column.
Right, that's right. You got about 600 words,
So
thank you for saying that.
Yeah, you talked about your son having the music gene as you do. You've been playing guitar pretty much all your life?
Yeah, since I was about maybe 15.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did
you learn to read music or you just picked it up?
No, picked it up.
You people make me so angry. Because I wish I could have been able to do that, and I just never could. One of our entertainers, he was a previous guest on an episode, Tom Guest, is the same way. He just said he picked it up and learned a couple things, but just goes off on it. So
yeah.
So what have you played? Have you done performing or songwriting?
Oh yeah, quite a bit.
Yeah.
And I wrote songs as well.
Okay.
I had a fairly sizable body of original material.
Did you ever get to record anything?
I did not. No, not personally, but okay. My son is big in recording,
right,
producing.
Right. Yeah. Have you given him any of your tunes to?
I sure have.
Yeah?
Two of them are played regularly in their tours.
Is that right?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. It's called Walnut Amounts to Nothing.
Okay. Okay, there you are with the words again.
We live on those things.
Yeah.
And Walnut Amounts to Nothing. And just Google it.
Does he have a CD? He has
published music? They're quite established. They have about 5 or 6 CDs.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So we'll have to tag that on the end of it.
Oh, please.
Yeah. So. Well, John, I have a new term for you now. I'm going to call you the most interesting man at Exton.
Yeah, I love it.
Because you really are a true Renaissance man. Just the experiences life have given you and how you've came through them, and then the joy that you find in the things like making music and writing words together you know, raising your children. It's just... you're the most interesting man in Exton. That's
when you said that, my mind immediately went to like an anagram, just to create like most interesting man in Exton, mommy.
Oh boy,
we like humor too.
Yeah, I know. Now you got me speechless.
Yeah.
But. I do want to thank you for cutting some time out of your day for us to do this.
Please do.
It's been a pleasure. Like I said, I'll make sure that we talk about the organizations you have and your son's CDs and such. And
wonderful.
People out there listening, if they've gone this far, they'll get to the other stuff.
They can purchase those volumes on Amazon.
On Amazon? Okay. Very good. That's where I got mine. So,
okay.
We'll make sure that we send that information out of there.
Well, this has been a thrill for me too, Chuck.
Oh, good.
I really appreciate it.
You know, I hope your kids enjoy it. It's something that they can have. And do you have grandchildren?
I have one. My daughter Chloe has one child named Nora.
Nora. Okay. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. And then one day Nora can listen to it, or she probably can now. How old is she?
Yeah.
Yeah. How old is Nora?
Nora is going to be 13.
Oh, well, then she can.
This month or May.
Yeah.
May.
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
So again, I want to thank you so much. I've been wanting to do this for a while, and I'm so glad we got a chance to.
Likewise.
Thank you, John, and thank you for living up to your new moniker, the most interesting man at Exton. John had a couple of organizations that he would like to have mentioned for your support if you can. One being the Michael J. Fox Foundation for Parkinson's Research. They are the premier research foundation to try and find a breakout cure and treatment for that disease. He also mentioned the Gift of Life for organ transplant. John was very open about his experience as a recipient. Gift of Life not only is a fundraiser, they do need a lot of donations to keep their work going, but they also develop a data bank of possible donors for transplant. So give their websites a look and see how you can donate and support those organizations. He talked about his son's band, Little Stranger. Follow them on YouTube, and they will be giving a performance at the end of July at the Mann Music Center in Philadelphia. So you might want to go check them out. You might even see John there. Finally, we like to talk about John's books, Quit Picking Upon Perfectionists, and Ruminating on Sloth and Other Indulgences. John's a wordsmith. He has a way with titles. So check those out on Amazon and give them a look, and certainly they're available for it. So again, John, thanks so much for your time with us. We really appreciate it, and congratulations on being the most interesting man in Exton.
The Arbor Company has over 40 senior living communities in 11 states along the East Coast and Midwest, offering lifestyles in independent living, assisted living, bridges, and memory care. If you or anyone you know is interested in finding an Arbor community near you, please visit our website at www.arborcompany.com. If you are in the Exton area and wish to visit our community, please call us at 484-249-2055 and ask for a tour.